Welcome to Hope Is Here. Last year, our country was changed in ways that none of us had ever experienced as we dealt with COVID-19. There were consequences from the coronavirus, which turned our world and our country upside down. In addition to the health challenges it presented, COVID-19 also had a ripple effect on our country economically. Many businesses were forced to eliminate positions. Thousands of people lost their jobs, including many here in Central Kentucky, who unexpectedly became unemployed as a result of the COVID-19. And as many of you know that are listening, when you lose a job, a lot of times you can lose your identity and your purpose. Today and tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Twyla Brown. She was one of those people who unexpectedly lost a great job last year because of COVID. And we're going to hear about her journey over the last 8 months and how she has found hope. Twyla, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Greg. It's nice to be here.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of people don't work at a job that they enjoy, Twyla, but you actually really enjoyed your job before your job was eliminated. Tell us a little bit about what you did.
Yeah, so I was the director of retail for Draper James, which is Reese Witherspoon's lifestyle brand, and I was over all of the stores and just really that brick and mortar retail aspect of the business. And I did. I loved my job. I kind of thought I was a big deal. but it was fun. You know, I got to travel and I got to interact with awesome customers. We had the greatest customers in the world. And I had an amazing team that I had had the hand in building. And so, yeah, I really loved my job and what I did and all the people.
Well, what was it like for you mentally and emotionally when you found out that your position was going to be eliminated and that you were going to be unemployed?
Yeah, I should have been scared to death. You know, we're definitely a two-income family. And so you would think that that would have really rocked my world, but it was strange. I had been sensing for several months that God was just kind of calling me to something. And literally on the day that I had been driving to work, I was praying and I was saying, like, God, I feel like it's like, you know, on the tip of my tongue. It's like, it's right there, but I can't put my finger on it. Like, what do you want me to do? Is it less? Is it more? Is it something completely different? And so, you know, when I got to work that day and had that conference call that I wasn't, you know, expecting to go that way, I was like, well, I guess this is not what you want me to do. And so, yeah, I mean, I had my 5-minute ugly cry and I called my husband and I called my mom and then I just really had an amazing sense of peace. Now, you and I have talked before, and I had shared with you, you know, through all of COVID, I had been, you know, just doing some discipleship with my kids, and I'd been teaching them the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, this is how Jesus wanted us to pray, and explaining to them what all of those things meant in that prayer. And, you know, and we had, you know, talked about our daily bread, and what did that mean? And so I just knew, like, it was okay, because I had taught my children you know, that we believe that God's going to give us our daily bread. And so I was gonna have to put on my big girl shoes and really walk in those words that I had been, you know, trying to imprint on my children's hearts. So,
well, I love that. You know, you talk about that, give us our daily bread. I'm a type A like you. And so I want to have it planned out. And I want to think about next month's bread and bread 5 years from now. But God does just say, hey, give us this day our daily bread, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. And I'm like you, you know, I'm a control freak. So I want to know what's going to happen. So this was extremely out of characteristic for me to feel such a sense of peace. And to this day, I mean, here we are 8 months later and I just trust God, and I know that I must be walking in the direction he wants me to, because it's all working out. So,
well, like me, and I know some of our listeners, we've talked about having a Bible verse for the year that you ask God to kind of reveal to you before you start each year. And it's kind of interesting. God in 2020 had already kind of prepared your heart and mind, not the way that you were expecting, but share with us about that Bible verse.
Isn't he funny? So, yeah, so in 2020, before any of the COVID drama, my verse was Isaiah 43:19. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And if that isn't what 2020 was, I don't know, you know, what is. But then, you know, my verse for this year was Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so, you know, it just really kind of like went from one thing to the next. Like, he had me already looking for that new thing he wanted to do and was giving me that promise that there were going to be rivers, you know, and then just really calling me to seek him. And so, you know, that had kind of been my prayer and my focus through this year. And so, I mean, that's, I'm sure, a huge piece of the peace that I've had through all of this.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you talk about Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And, you know, I don't know about you, but with me, sometimes something like a job loss, especially when it's unexpectedly, that's when God gets all my heart because I'm so distracted with many other things. Mm-hmm. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, my job was super consuming. So, I mean, I loved it so much and I was, you know, like very wrapped up in it. So he took that away so that I could just be a little quieter. And, you know, even still like having, you know, little kids, I have an 8-year-old and I have a 2.5-year-old. And so, you know, that also is really distracting, but I just was looking to find a new rhythm kind of in this like paused moment of life. Like, okay, what is the season and how can I really draw closer to God through it? And so, you know, obviously not having to like leave and go to a work and then come home and do all the mom things on top of it has allowed me to try to steal moments in my day and set apart, you know, times for just, you know, prayer or journaling or, you know, just getting into the word. And so I just, you know, every day it's like, okay, God, what do you want from me? I just want to be obedient to you. And so, I've really leaned into the season and appreciated. I just was actually journaling the other day and I was like, you know, thank you so much for this time because I'm able to do things that I probably wouldn't have done before as far as, you know, my time with Jesus during my day. And so, yeah, I'm just really trying to lean into that and understand what's the next.
Well, with that Jeremiah 29:13, you know, a lot of people don't get down to that verse, but we get to Jeremiah 29:11, 2 verses before.
Right.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I kid quite often, God knows I'm a little slow and I need things on the lower shelf. So he put the word plans, not once, not twice, but 3 times in mm-hmm. just that one verse. But sometimes our plan and God's plan is different. Have you found that to be true?
For sure. I mean, oh, yeah. Definitely. like we said, I'm a control freak. Well, and I want to back up and say, and that's how I got to Jeremiah 29:13, because I was, you know, of course, Jeremiah 29:11, everybody knows that. And like in the season of life, of course, I'm reading that verse. But then as you keep reading, it's like, but wait a second. Yeah, I know the plans I have for you, but, you know, you need to come seek me. And you're going to find me when you seek me. And you're going to find, I think, probably the plans and the purpose when you're seeking him with your whole heart. And that it's not just a one-time prayer, but it's a daily, you know, journey of seeking him. So, so yeah. But, yeah, what plans? I'm sorry. What were you asking me? I'm sorry. I just regressed on you.
No, well, I mean, it's such a deep question, though. It really
yeah.
is, because, you know, I think we all have these plans. I mean, I know I do. I never dreamed, you know, that when I was on the grocery store in Cynthia and get ready to be a multimillionaire in my mid-30s and buy a couple more stores, that in one day a flood was going to happen and a game changer. And you get on a conference call and all of a sudden this great position you had, you're traveling all over the country is with your management position with Draper James. And so, man, life in one phone call, you mm-hmm. know, one weather report mm-hmm. can really change. And mm-hmm. what I'm trying to encourage people, a lot of people I think listening are thinking, well, man, I had this plan. It's not working out the way I thought it would. So God doesn't love me. And yet one of the things I like about your story, you've chosen, instead of choosing to be bitter, you mm-hmm. chose to become better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, honestly, I knew, like, what is the saying? Like, you can't choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you react to it. And, you know, a lot of people that I worked with, I don't know, you know, necessarily where they were in their relationships with Jesus. And so I knew that this was a moment for me to set myself apart in the way that I reacted. So whether it was, you know, to corporate partners and people that I'd worked with, or the coworkers on the store levels, you know, the store managers and their teams, or just even friends and family, like for them to see how I chose to react to the situation and not be angry or, you know, have a pity party, but just to say, I mean, I was really open through the whole thing. Like, I don't know, but I know that God has something and I'm okay with that. I have peace because I have Jesus and I know what his promises are. And so I, you know, I can rest in that. And I did have one coworker who, you know, also got her position was eliminated at the same time as mine. And, you know, she was like, I don't know how you're so okay. And I'm like, I mean, what other choice do I have? Like, I have Jesus and I have that peace that, like, I know he's for me. And so, you know, being able to have that, I think, testimony to people was a great opportunity.
I really do believe that's a word for somebody listening today. We all say, God, use me. People are followers of Jesus. They really desire to do that. But unfortunately, to have a testimony, you have to go through a test.
Right.
And you did. I have. And I think that's to somebody listening today, man, you can never have greater influence on people in your circle of influence, your sphere of influence, than when you go through a crisis. Because as followers of Jesus, we do know that God provides a peace that passes all understanding, and it's a chance to either choose faith or fear. And so I love that you said that. We hadn't planned to talk about that, yeah. but people are watching, aren't
yeah.
they?
Amen. They are. They are. And so, you know, yeah, people are watching, and sometimes they see the worst of quote-unquote Christianity and our community. And so, you know, look for the ways that you can be a light and show them all of the benefits of being, you know, in our club, so to speak. And you know, peace is one of those promises that we get to claim. So I'm really thankful for that.
Well, I can remember when I went through some transition times in my life that a few years ago, I put the Bible verse on a post-it note, Philippians 4:19. It says, "My God shall supply all my needs through his riches in Christ Jesus." And man, I had that on there and it got warped and I had to retape it, but I had to see that in, you know, the left-hand corner every time I got in my car to be reminded that God would be my protector and my provider. Mm-hmm. And you've seen that over the past 8 months, haven't you?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, just so many neat experiences, opportunities to bless friends and, you know, other people because I have a little more time on my hands or a little more flexibility in my schedule. And, you know, just to be able to disciple my kids more intentionally has been a big piece of it, especially not, you know, being able to attend church in person. So there's a lot of things that I have just had the opportunity to do that I would not have if I was, you know, still in the full-time working world as far as like outside the home. Not that staying at home is not a full-time job, because it is. Now I know.
Amen. My mom did that, and yes, it is. Very hard. You know, obviously, you had the big surprise back last year in COVID, but a few years ago, you got another big surprise.
Oh, we did. We did. Yeah. So I was almost 42, and my husband had just turned 52, and we were pregnant, and that was not a planned pregnancy.
Hello.
That was not a planned pregnancy. And yeah, that really rocked my world. I mean, I think it rocked his world too, but he was a much better sport about it than I was. And so talking about being a control freak, you know, God was kind of messing up my plans because that was not part of the strategic plan for my life. So, yeah. So, but we do have a sweet little Theo who is 2.5, and I wouldn't change it for anything. He's been, you know, a great addition to our family, but we had to work through those feelings for a while.
Well, one thing you share with me, though, because like you said, we do have plans, and obviously you're venting to your husband, and you guys have a great relationship. I graduated from high school with your husband, Stefan, but he kind of called you out.
Oh, he did. Yeah, we had a few days of me sulking around and just real unhappy, and one night we were laying in bed, and I think we might have even just finished praying, like, honestly, and it was just me, you know, complaining and like this and that. You know, we had a kid who was just starting kindergarten. So there went the daycare expenses. We were finally going to save for our retirement. We were like in a great place financially. And then here comes this baby, diapers and daycare again. But he said to me, he said, "Twyla, you're selfish." And I was okay with that. In that moment, I said, yeah, I guess I am.
Hate to cut you off there, but man, you're going to join us tomorrow because you're thinking, he said that you were selfish. Well, I think we're all selfish if we're honest. And I love that Stefan and Twyla are real honest about that unexpected situation they had. But we're out of time, but I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Twyla Brown on Hope Is Here.
For all your heating and air needs, contact the professionals at Green Box Heating and Air. Locally owned for over a decade, Green Box Heating and Air wants to help you get ready now for the spring and upcoming hot summer months. To request service, call Green Box Heating and Air today at 859-279-0214. Again, that's 859-279-0214.